पुरुषं स्त्रीं पुनातिः वक्तारं प्रश्चकं श्रोत्रिं तत्पादसलिलं यथा।
The Ganges emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudev Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Sreya Uttamam. Those interested in understanding transcendental subject matters as the goal of life must approach the bona fide spiritual master. Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta. One must surrender to such a guru who can give right information about Krishna. Herein, Maharaj Parikshit has surrendered to the right personality, Shukadev Goswami, for enlightenment in Vasudeva Katha. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead, who has unlimited spiritual activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is a record of such activities, and Bhagavad Gita is the record of Vasudev speaking personally. Therefore, since the Krishna consciousness movement is full of Vasudeva Katha, anyone who hears, anyone who joins the movement, and anyone who preaches will be purified. Maharaj Parikshit, by the inconceivable divine arrangement of Lord Sri Krishna, was cursed to die in 7 days. Although he committed but a very minor mistake and was given such unjust punishment, like a true Vaishnava, he did not complain, "Why is this happening to me?" But rather, he understood that behind every situation of life is the hand of Krishna. And Krishna will not allow anything ever to happen to his devotee unless that circumstance is for that devotee's ultimate spiritual purification. Whether we receive the benefit or not is dependent on whether we tathena kampam sushame mukham, with a grateful heart and folded palms, accept the sweet beauty of Krishna's mercy in whatever form it may come. Maharaj Parikshit, with a gladdened and thankful heart, went to the bank of Mother Ganga. And there he sat, vowing to fast without even food or water until death, in order that all of his attention could completely be immersed without any deviation to hearing the beautiful glories of Sri Krishna. Today is Janamashtami. It is a day where, in celebration of the Lord, it is recommended that we fast without food or water, if possible, until midnight. Not simply for the purpose of gaining good health through fasting or performing some tapasya, but actually this fasting is meant to facilitate the same condition that Maharaj Parikshit voluntarily accepted. We should be immersed in hearing and chanting and rendering service to Lord Sri Krishna, and keep our attention completely on that. Maharaj Parikshit fasted till death. We are asked to fast till midnight, and then we get a nice feast. Maharaj Parikshit, he got the nicest feast. His feast was death itself, because in his death he received the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Maharaj Parikshit himself declares that for those 7 days he was feasting sumptuously and was completely satisfied hearing the nectaring words of Srila Shukadeva Goswami describing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Parikshit bowed down and surrendered to the lotus feet of his spiritual master, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, and requested him to speak on the most important of all topics, topics concerning Krishna. What is the supreme occupation for all humanity, and what is the duty of a man about to die? Putting himself in the place of every living being within this material world, he was teaching us the proper process of living in this world for the highest perfection. And Shukadeva Goswami narrates Srimad Bhagavatam in reply. Through the first 9 cantos, Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains creation, time, the various Purusha avatars. He explains very systematically, very scientifically, the philosophy of Sankhya, how this material nature is working in great detail. He explains the essence of all the knowledge of the Vedas, and especially describes the various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here, at the time of 10th canto, Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring from Srila Shukadeva Goswami, "Now I have heard all of this preliminary information about the Lord, his devotees, and his pastimes. I have heard the perfection of life, pure devotional service. Now, please describe to me the wonderful story of how Krishna appeared in this world. The Supreme Absolute Truth in all of his full opulences, the original personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the source of all incarnations, is Krishna. How he appeared in the Yadu dynasty, why he appeared, how he appeared in his original beautiful spiritual form, and hearing the glories of Krishna is the ultimate shelter for all living beings. So Maharaj Parikshit presented a series of questions about Krishna's beautiful pastimes in this world. And herein, in these verses that we are reading this morning, Shukadeva Goswami begins his narration. First, he thanks Maharaj Parikshit with great respect for presenting such questions, because these questions and the answers to these questions are meant for the ultimate welfare of all humanity. And herein he is explaining that just like the Ganges, which emanates from the lotus foot of Lord Vishnu, purifies all the three worlds, similarly, the sound vibration of the beautiful pastimes of the Lord purifies three types of living beings: the one who speaks, the one who inquires, and those people in general who hear this narration. Then Sukadeva Goswami begins to explain the wonderful lila of Krishna's appearance on earth. We should know that simply listening to this narration with a submissive and attentive heart is the highest form of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we hear with oral reception, if we hear in a mood like Maharaj Parikshit, intensely, desperately drinking the nectar of Krishna's lila, then we also can achieve the highest perfection of love of Krishna through this simple process alone. When we are very thirsty, when we are very hungry, our mind, our heart, our senses, everything crave. Our consciousness is fixed on the anticipation, the hope of receiving some food or water. And anything else anyone gives us will not satisfy us if we are starving of hunger and thirst. If someone brings you a beautiful gold necklace, or a beautiful brand new car, or even a wonderful house to live in, you will not think it is worth anything if you are starving of hunger and thirst. You will give it all up just for a little bit of water. That was the mood that Maharaj Parikshit taught us. This is the mood we should cultivate to hear the glories of the Lord. We should develop such thirst because, in fact, the soul is starving, starving to hear the glories of the Lord. starving to come back in connection to Krishna. And when we begin to develop proper intelligence, nothing else will satisfy us. The things of this world are useless. They are meaningless. They can do nothing for us. In this mood, we should sit hearing Srimad Bhagavatam narration. And to the degree we want to hear, we are eager, anxious, greedy to hear the Lord's glories, to that degree, Krishna's pastimes are eternally revealed to us through these sound vibrations. And to develop this desire to hear with this anticipation is also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shushru shro shadadhanasya vasudeva kataruchi syanahat sevana vipra punya tiratana sevana. By serving the devotees of the Lord carefully, attentively, Krishna is pleased with us. By serving his devotees, he awards us that taste to hear his glories. Maharaj Parikshit, although he was such a great king, he was always absorbed in the mood of the humble servant of the Lord's devotees. And therefore, at the last stage of his life, Krishna gave him such an eagerness to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Shukadeva Goswami explains that once Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds and thousands of military phalanxes of various demons. They were all dressed as kings. And she approached Lord Brahma for relief. Mother Earth appeared in the form of a cow, and she was very much distressed, with tears in her eyes. And she told Brahma about her misfortune. The earth is here described as mother, just as the earth is the mother, the cow is the mother. And disrespect, exploitation of one's mother is the most heinous offense. In society today, see how mother is being exploited. Throughout the world, the cow is being so terribly and brutally mistreated. Even in this land of India, what to speak of the earth, polluted and exploited for so many greedy, terrible purposes. At this time, Kamsa, he was the leader of all the asuras. He was so powerful after performing years and years and years of tapasya that he went to the various planets in the universe, to the various places on earth, and wherever there was a demon, a powerful, powerful mystic, He would challenge them to fight. And he was so powerful that he defeated every single one of them. And just when he was on the verge of killing them, he forced them to surrender and caused them to make a vow that they would very faithfully serve him and assist him in his mission to conquer everyone and everything. So Kamsa and his various soldiers were exploiting the earth and exploiting all human society. So Mother Earth, concerned for all of her children, she approached Lord Brahma in the form of a cow, and she began to explain her dilemma. After hearing the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma called for all of the prominent demigods, such as Lord Shiva, Indra, Vayu, Chandra, and they all approached the ocean of milk. Within every universe, there is a planet. And within that is an ocean of milk. And beyond that ocean of milk is Svetadvip, which is the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Chirodakshayi Vishnu. And it is through him that all the various incarnations come to this world. So the demigods headed by Brahma began to chant the Purusha Shukta prayers. And as they were singing the glories of the Lord, Lord Brahma entered into a deep trance. And within that meditation, the Supreme Lord, from within Brahma's heart, began to speak. In fact, Brahma heard the Lord speaking. Tumultuously, his voice was vibrating from the sky, but only he could hear, because of his great devotional sentiments. The Lord revealed his will to Brahma. And then Brahma explained to the demigods that we have all approached Lord Vishnu, but he already knew our plight. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows everything. He knows everything past, all things in the present, and all things in the future. He knows every living being. Within the heart, he knows our every joy and our every sorrow. He knows whatever difficulties we may be in. But still, as an act of devotion, to recognize our complete dependence on the Lord, we offer our prayers to him. Great devotees like Prahlad, he didn't even bother describing his difficulties to the Lord. Whatever atrocities Hiranyakashipu inflicted upon him, he didn't pray, "Krishna, I'm being thrown in fire, please save me. Krishna, I'm being thrown off a mountain, please catch me. Krishna, I'm being stabbed by tridents, please relieve me." He simply prayed, "Krishna, you know everything. I am your servant. Let me only remember you in love. Do what you like." So the demigods prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told them that he would soon personally appear in his original form of Krishna in the world. And the prominent demigods should take birth in the Yadu dynasty and the Vrishni dynasty to assist him in his wonderful pastimes. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita that when a devotee makes spiritual progress but does not complete the path and departs from this present body, that devotee is not lost. Neha bhikramana sosti pratyavayo navidyate. Whatever advancement we make in spiritual life is eternal. And Krishna explains that such people, either they take birth in a family of sincere Vaishnavas, or they are elevated to the heavenly planets where they can continue their devotional service. So it is explained here that such devotees who very sincerely were on the path of surrender but died, they were given birth in the heavenly planets where they were continuing their devotional service. And it was those people that Krishna gave the chance to take birth in the Yadu dynasty, either in Mathura, in Dwarka, or in Vrindavan, to have the chance of directly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he was enacting his beautiful Leela on earth. And by associating with the Nitya Siddha Bhaktas, those devotees who descend from the spiritual world with the Lord, and by associating with the Lord directly, such persons become completely purified. And after Krishna winds up his particular Leela, such devotees return to Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world beyond this material existence. Sometimes devotees think, the heavenly planets, there are so many distractions and so forth. Why is this a reward for devotees who are sincerely on the path of surrender but do not complete their purpose? But Srila Prabhupada and Shukadeva Goswami describe this here. This is the reward. Because there is never a time when Krishna is not enacting his Leela somewhere within the material universes. It is Nitya Leela. It is always taking place. There are innumerable universes, and somewhere in the creation of the material cosmos, Krishna is enacting each one of his pastimes. Somewhere he is taking birth always within material creation. Somewhere he is lifting the Govardhan Hill always within material creation. So if we are very, very serious about Krishna consciousness, but we don't quite perfect our consciousness in purification, then we may take birth as a demigod in the heavenly worlds, or the servants of the demigods. But Krishna, he will not simply allow us to be lost to the material opulences if we are sincere, but he will give us the chance. He will give us the chance because of our intense desire for purification to actually appear in the universe that he is performing his Leela, to be one of his intimate associates. Om. Moma Pavitra Pavitrova. And by that contact with Krishna's completely purified associates, we become completely purified in unalloyed love of Krishna. And our original prema is awakened fully within our hearts, and then we can go back home, back to Godhead. So these various heavenly beings descended into the Yadu dynasty. And Krishna orchestrated this wonderful lila. Devaki and Vasudev, who was one of the descendants of King Surasen, were married. And in the Kshatriya dynasty, these marriages were celebrated with very great opulences. After the marriage, Kamsa, who was the cousin brother of Devaki, feeling so joyful to see the sister's marriage, wanted to do something wonderful to express his love for her. So although he was such a majestic and honored personality in the kingdom, he personally wanted to drive the chariot of Vasudeva and Devaki to their future place of residence. In material society, there is something that people call love, which has nothing to do with real love. Because people are looking for pleasure of affection. And in material consciousness, we show affection and receive affection as a way of exploiting the object of our affection. Because we are under the illusion that we are the enjoyers. This is not love. This is kaam, lust. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, what is the difference between material love and spiritual love? It is like the difference between gold and iron. Gold and iron are both metals, but one is worthless and one has great value. In the same way, when we are under the illusion that we are this material body, we think that we are the enjoyers of this body and that the purpose of life is enjoyment. And therefore, we make so many relationships, friendships, family relationships, simply to enjoy. Simply to exploit the other party for our enjoyment. And even when we give something to them, it is in the mood of exploitation. Even when you serve your beloved, you are simply exploiting them. You are giving because it makes you feel good to give. You are giving because you feel you will get something good in return if you give. This is not love. This is lust. This is kama. And the whole world is going around on the basis of this principle. And it becomes the very focus point of our lives. Family attachment and entanglement without Krishna consciousness is nothing but kama. We give to our children, we give to our parents. Why? Because we call them our own. Because it makes us feel good to give to them. because we are expecting something in return from them. It is selfish. And this is the same way we deal with our friends. Friends become enemies when there is some conflict in regard to our agreement of how to enjoy sense gratification. But real love is unmotivated and uninterrupted. Real love is the soul's expression toward Krishna and toward every part of Krishna, which means all living beings. So Kamsa was the very symbol of this demoniac principle of self-centered ego. Kamsa was so lovingly, so gently encouraging Devaki and willing to do anything for her to show her affection. And he was driving the chariot, taking the position of her humble servant just to show his love for her. But from the sky came a voice. Kamsa, you are a fool. The eighth child of your sister Devaki will be the cause of your death. Who was this voice? It was a mysterious, unembodied voice. It was the demigods. The demigods wanted Krishna to come as soon as possible. So to accelerate Krishna's appearance, they prompted the envy of Kamsa. At that time, this humble servant, so lovingly serving his sister, revealed another side of his nature. He dropped the reins of his horses. With his left hand, he grabbed Devaki by the hair. With his right hand, he drew his terrible sharpened sword, and he was about to sever her head. And Devaki, with folded palms, helpless, was begging for mercy. But Kamsa knew no mercy. This is the nature of a person too much attached to the body and the senses. Such a person can turn against anyone for his own purposes. And actually, this is real definition of dignity. When we maintain our compassionate nature, when we maintain our selfless devotion, even under difficult circumstances, if we are just acting like a humble servant whenever it feels good for us, we are not much better than Kamsa. But when we have everything to lose in the material sense, when there is great opposition and even risk, and we remain faithful to the position of being the humble servant of the Lord and his devotees, that is real Vaishnavism. Ahoi takiya pratihata. Vasudev, he was a very, very advanced devotee who had all of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. He was very intelligent. And he began to speak to Kamsa. He explained, "You should not kill your sister because This body is temporary. We should not make such efforts just to maintain this body. The soul is eternal. The body is going to die by the power of time. Just like a worm crawls from one leaf to another. In the same way, the soul is going from one body to another. Just like when a traveler is walking from one destination to another, we put down one foot, we place another foot forward, and then we lift up the previous foot. In the same way, we give up one body to accept another body, and then we give up that body to accept another body. Every time you walk, you can meditate on the nature of the transmigration of the soul. It is the same principle Vasudeva explains. But we are responsible for our actions, and that will create our future. So under no circumstance should we engage in any type of sinful activity simply to preserve this body which will perish within seconds. We should not condemn the whole future of our lives. But Kamsa was so much attached to his egoistic pursuits of life, he could not hear a word of this good philosophy. So Vasudev utilized as a last means a promise. He told Kamsa that you have no fear of Devaki. You have fear of her eighth child. Therefore, I make this promise to you that whatever child is born to my wife Devaki, I will deliver and surrender to you, and you can do as you like. Now, Vasudeva was such a devotee. He was a man of such honor that Kamsa knew that such a Vaishnav will never break his word. Even though Kamsa was such an attached, demoniac person, having everything to lose, if Vasudeva didn't keep his word, he trusted it, because he knew the value of a devotee. The character of such a person. So Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to a child. And they performed the purificatory rites and the name-giving ceremony, and he was giving the name Kirtiman. And then Vasudev gave that little baby child to Kamsa. And Kamsa was so pleased. He said to Vasudev that you are giving your child to me, such an honest person. His heart actually melted. The character of a Vaishnav can even melt the heart of the worst demons. He said, Vasudev, please take this child back, because my fear is the eighth child. So Vasudev took the child, but in his mind he knew that a person too much attached to the senses and their objects can never be trusted. At that time, Sri Narada Muni appeared in the palace of Kamsa. And Sri Narada told Kamsa, I'd like to inform you that the Supreme, in your previous life, your name was Kalanemi, and you were killed by Vishnu. And Vishnu's coming back to kill you. I have information. He's already sent your wicked, deadly enemies, the demigods, to take birth in the Yadu and Vrishni dynasty. And he himself will appear. And he could appear as any one of the children of Devaki and Vasudeva. What to speak of his associates? They are already appearing. And then Narada, singing the glories of the Lord, departed from the palace of Kamsa. Narada Muni has perfectly the whole situation. He understood that due to a curse, the first six children of Devaki and Vasudeva were born in previous lives as demons. You see, Marichi had six children, and they were devatas. They were sages. But they offended a great devotee, a muni, and they were cursed to take birth as demons in the material, in the earth planet. So they were born at one time in the dynasty of Hiranyakashipu. And later on, they were to be put in the womb of Devaki. Now these six children, they were longing to get over with these births as demons so they could go back to their heavenly service to the Lord. So Narada, he actually was not prompting innocent children to be killed. He was prompting six rishis to be liberated from demoniac births to fulfill their own desire to go back to their original positions as servants of the Lord in a heavenly abode. And also, he knew that it was the Lord's desire that the circumstances to accommodate his appearance would be accelerated. So Narada was actually doing this service. What appeared to be a great disservice to Devaki and Vasudeva was actually the greatest service to the Lord. That is why it is said, it is very, very difficult to understand the mind of a great Vaishnava. Because when we see, we only see the immediate circumstances. But the great Vaishnavas are empowered to see the overall ultimate good for everyone. So after Narada Rishi left the palace, Kamsa became so much afraid that he had Devaki and Vasudeva arrested, put in prison and bound by iron shackles and chains. And every year, Vasudeva and Devaki produced another child. The great Acharyas explained that Vasudeva knew that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was going to be his eighth child. Therefore, he kept producing children just so Krishna would come. Otherwise, why would he produce children? If he was in prison and he knew they would be murdered terribly right after birth, but he was willing to undergo this incredible tapasya of seeing his own children being killed with a happy heart, because he knew that Krishna would be coming. So these six children were murdered by Kamsa. The Acharyas explained that Marichi represents the mind, and there are six descendants of the demoniac materialistic mind: lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, and illusion. And the six children of Devaki represent these six enemies born of the mind. And they must all be vanquished before Krishna will appear within our mind, within our heart. So therefore, the process of sadhana bhakti is an absolute necessity for those who are conditioned to material desires. We cannot appreciate the truth of Krishna's divine lila as long as these six enemies are within us. Therefore, we must very carefully follow the regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. But on a subtle platform, these enemies are still lingering within our heart. And therefore, we must very systematically, in great regulation, perform the process of sadhana bhakti. We must vow to chant the holy names regularly every day. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We must regularly perform as an austerity the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita in the association of devotees regularly. We must rise early and take our bath and worship the deity in the morning. We cannot just perform bhakti as we like. We must perform bhakti as Krishna likes, as recommended by the proper spiritual master, even if it is difficult. Through this process, we gradually become purified. It is explained that Devaki was always in fear of Kamsa. And in the same way, Srila Prabhupada explains, if we want to get rid of these six garbhasuras or demons within our own heart, we must fear material association in the same way as Devaki feared Kamsa. And that is why Srila Prabhupada put most emphasis on the miseries of material existence. Devotees should be fearless, but they have to be fearless by taking shelter of Krishna. But they will not take shelter of Krishna unless they fear material association. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed in this way: Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Mukasya Param Param Jagamasur. One who desires to cross over this ocean of material existence, to associate with people too much attached to materialistic life, it is more deadly than drinking poison willingly. It is also explained that intimately associating with materialistic people or with materialistic paraphernalia for our sense gratification is like living in a pit filled with venomous serpents. Why these examples are given? To put fear in our heart. We must be afraid of Maya. The liberated souls, they are fearless. But to reach that stage, we must cultivate fear of Maya. And this will impel us to take shelter of Krishna. It is not that devotees are always afraid. The devotees are always happy. They're always blissful. Because when there's association of devotees, there's no fear. They won't go in other association. So this is a very important principle. And Devaki, her fear of Kamsa is what purified her heart and ultimately freed her from these six Garbhasuras that were coming one after another into her womb. Kamsa killed the six children. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead sent his original expansion, Shankarshan, Ananta Dev, in his original form of Balaram, into the womb of Devaki. Shankarshan is the source of all other incarnations. Balaramji is non-different from Krishna in every way, except he appears in a way to always be assisting Krishna in his divine lila. Then Lord Sri Krishna called for his yoga maya potency. And he explained that Shankarshan Baladev is now residing within Devaki. Devaki became very, very effulgent and beautiful. She knew that a divine being was within her. He said, I want you to transfer Baladev from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Rohini was another wife of Vasudev. And while he was in prison, she was in the care of Nanda Maharaj at Gokul. And Rohini Dev was also pregnant in her seventh month. As was Devaki. Then Krishna told Yogamaya that you should appear as the daughter of Yashoda, and I will personally appear as the son of Devaki. So by the mystic power of Yogamaya Devi, Balaram was transferred to the womb of Rohini, and it appeared that Devaki had a miscarriage. There was no longer a child within her. So the members of the palace lamented, and even Kamsa, out of his demonic sentiment, he felt very bad that his sister had a miscarriage. But very soon after, Krishna appeared in Devaki's womb. Krishna is 15 days younger than Balaram. How did he appear? It is explained by Shukadeva Goswami that Krishna appeared within the mind, the heart. When we talk about a Vaishnava's mind, it is his heart, because the mind is within the heart. The mind is directly connected to the soul, situated within the heart. So the Lord appeared within the heart of Vasudeva. And when he did, Vasudeva experienced such ecstatic bliss, and he became effulgent with blissfulness. And then the Lord was transferred from the heart of Vasudeva to the heart of Devaki. When the Lord appeared within the heart of Devaki, Devaki's beauty became the same as the beauty of the Lord himself. The whole prison cell, the whole palace was being lit up by the incredible beauty and opulence of Devaki's effulgence. And when Kamsa saw this, he knew as a fact that Vishnu has appeared. And counting every moment, he waited to kill Vishnu. And it is explained, as he was waiting those days for the Lord to take birth, he could not stop thinking of Vishnu for a second. While he was walking, while he was sitting, while he was eating, while he was trying to sleep, he was constantly plagued with the thought of Vishnu. In this way, he was very Krishna conscious, but in an unfavorable way. But favorable or unfavorable, just by thinking of Krishna, one becomes purified. Because Kamsa was 24 hours a day in fear and hatred thinking of Krishna, he became so purified by that process that ultimately Krishna killed him personally and gave him liberation. So the difference between favorable devotional service of always remembering Krishna and unfavorable, like Kamsa or Shishupal, is a devotee is very happy thinking of Krishna. But Kamsa was always miserable. He was always suffering. Suffering in life, suffering in death. So therefore, it is better to think of Krishna favorably. And also, if we can intensely hate Krishna so much that he will come and personally destroy us, then that is very good. As a matter of fact, it is explained that demigods also took birth as the associates of Kamsa. Just to assist in bringing Krishna to the world. So Kamsa spent those days in total anxiety. And then, on the night of the Ashtami, the Supreme Personality of Godhead arranged all of material energy to welcome him into the world. Although it was not the time of a full moon, because Krishna was going to appear within the dynasty of the moon god, just to welcome the Lord in the world with celebration, the moon appeared in his beautiful, full, splendid form. and all of the rivers began to blossom wonderful, wonderful lotus flowers. And all of the animals were joyful, dancing and singing beautiful songs. And from the mines and the mountains, beautiful jewels, fragrant breezes, and all the constellations in the sky became supremely auspicious. And the constellation of Rohini, that sign in which Vishnu personally appears, ascended. And all of the great Brahmins and devotees who were so much plagued by the persecution of Kamsa, they all felt supreme satisfaction in their hearts. And there was no disturbance in their lighting of the sacred fires or their chanting of auspicious mantras. When everything was in its most perfectly auspicious setting, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the heart of Devaki before them in his beautiful form of Narayan. He stood with a beautiful, beautiful bluish complexion. His head was crowned with beautiful golden crown, wonderful jewelry, the Vaidurya jewel upon his chest, beautiful garlands. His dhoti was the color of lightning, and his beautiful lotus eyes cast merciful glance upon his mother and father. And in his four hands he held the conch shell, the lotus flower, the club, and the chakra. And from him emanated such beautiful light. And Vasudeva and Devaki, upon seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, with folded hands began to offer their prayers. After Vasudev praised the Lord, explaining his supreme position as the source of everything and the ultimate savior of his devotees, Devaki began to pray. And she also began to elucidate the glories of Vishnu as the supreme source of everything that exists, who dispels all fear, who is infallible and indestructible, and who is the killer of all demons. She knew all these things. She knew with her intelligence that Krishna could never be destroyed. And she knew that anyone who thinks of Krishna becomes free from all the fears of all the demoniac elements of material life. But still, her parental affection for Krishna it covered her divine intelligence of Krishna's supreme nature. And she begged Krishna that you are my child and Kamsa has already killed six of my children because he feared that they were Vishnu. If he sees you in this form of Vishnu, he's sure to kill you. At least try. So please become like an ordinary baby, so that Kamsa will not know that you are Vishnu. This was her feeling. Because then it is possible perhaps that I can hide you. But if you're in this Vishnu form, how will I ever hide you? You will be too easily identified. Krishna appeared at that time in his original form of Gopal for the pleasure of Devaki and Vasudev. But first he spoke to them. It is actually explained that the original two-handed form of Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. But Krishna wanted to give Vasudeva and Devaki the understanding that this baby was Vishnu. He wanted to make it certain for them. Therefore, he appeared as Vishnu form first before taking his baby form. So they would know that without doubt, their mission had been completed. They brought the Lord into the world. So that beautiful form of Vishnu began to speak and told Vasudev and Devaki that previously, birth after birth, I have accepted you as my mother and father. In the Treta Yuga, you appeared as Prishni and Sutapa. And for 12,000 celestial years, you performed tapasya. Such tapasya that you endured living in the forests, severe heat, severe cold, rain, and all the elements, without complaining. And for food, you only ate air and the dry leaves that fell from the trees. Through this tapasya, in the mood of unalloyed devotion, you pleased me. And I became your son, Prishni Garbha. And then in our next birth, Vasudev, you became Kashyapa, and Devaki was Aditi, and I appeared in my form of Upendra, a little dwarf, also known as Vamanadev. And now, in this birth, I am appearing with all of my plenary expansions and all other incarnations within me. Krishna appeared in the previous two births as his incarnations. But in this birth, to Vasudeva and Devaki, he was appearing in his original transcendental form, the cause of all causes. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And after giving this information and instructions, Krishna transformed into his beautiful original form of Gopal Krishna. And just at that time, the shackles binding Vasudev were released, and the door to his prison cell opened, and Kamsa and all the guards, in fact, everyone in the entire kingdom, fell fast asleep. And Vasudev took the baby child. And as he went out of the palace, the rain was falling, It is a month of the rainy season. So Ananta Shesha came in the form like an umbrella by holding his hoods above the child in the arms of Vasudeva. And because of torrents and torrents of rains over time, the river Jamuna was over flooded and swirling with whirlpools and a very, very rushing current. But at that time, to honor the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the river Jamuna made passage for Vasudeva to easily cross. And he brought the child to Mahavan Gokul, the maternity ward of Yashoda, the consort and wife of Nanda Maharaj. Yashoda gave birth to this little baby girl who was actually Yogamaya. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains that she actually gave birth to twins. She gave birth to Krishna as well as Yogamaya. And there is much evidence from the Shastra. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yogamaya, Krishna says, is his younger sister, which indicates that they were born of Yashoda together. Anyways, the acharyas explain how Vasudeva brought this Vasudeva expansion of the personality of Godhead Krishna. And when he came to Nanda Maharaja's house, the two lords became one. They merged into, the expansion merged into the original Shyam Sundar Gopal. So Vasudeva left his little boy and he brought Yogamaya back to the prison cell of Kamsa. And when he arrived, the little baby girl began to cry. And immediately all the guards, they jumped up and informed Kamsa, "The child is born." And Kamsa stormed into the prison cell. And Devaki was pleading, "You have killed all my other children. Be merciful. Just allow me to have this one daughter." But Kamsa was so cruel. He was on his knees. And as Devaki was struggling to try to keep her child, he forcibly ripped the child out of her arms, took the child by the legs, and raised it to dash it and smash it to death against stone. But as he lifted the child, this little girl slipped from his hands and went into the sky and manifested her form of Durga, riding on a lion with eight arms, carrying various deadly weapons. And she said to Kamsa that the child who was meant to kill you is already born somewhere else. Why are you so cruel to Devaki and Vasudeva? And then she disappeared. When Kamsa heard this, he understood that things were going beyond his control. And then he became very repentant what he had done to his sister, Devaki and Vasudeva. And he fell at the feet of Devaki and Vasudeva and began to cry and beg forgiveness from them for putting them in prison and killing all their children. And he began to make so many excuses of why he had done it in a mood of repentance. And Vasudeva and Devaki, exhibiting the glorious qualities of true Vaishnavas, they were very gentle and they forgave Kamsa. In fact, Vasudeva began to speak sweet words of philosophy to pacify Kamsa. He explained, because of the false ego and because of connection to the three modes of material nature, we think in terms that I am this body and all things in this relationship to this body are mine. And due to this egoistic misconception, we engage in so many activities which are based in illusion. So in so many ways, Vasudeva was saying, I don't blame you. You were just in Maya. Therefore, you are forgiven. In so many words. Such a wonderful saintly person. So Kamsa released Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison. And then he went and had a meeting with his ministers, who were all demons. And he told them, this is what happened. Durga Devi was born, and she told me that the child is born somewhere else. So I released Vasudeva and Devaki for all the atrocities I had committed. And then a great lesson was revealed to the world. What happens if we associate with materialistic people who have no devotion to the Lord? They will somehow or other influence us to again succumb to our lower nature. Kamsa's ministers, they began to explain that Kamsa, what are you just accepting defeat at the hands of Vishnu and the demigods? What is this? You don't have to do that. You are all powerful. No one can defeat you. When you raise your sword, all the demigods flee in fear. You could conquer anyone. You have nothing to fear. You are the supreme. If the demigods and the Lord are born somewhere else, let us find them and destroy them. Just give us the chance. Vishnu is your enemy. If we persecute the Vaishnavas, Vishnu will die. Because the Vaishnavas are completely depending on Vishnu. Vishnu depends on the love of the Vaishnavas. If we kill the Vaishnavas, Vishnu dies. So let us go out and murder them all. We will kill the cows so there will be no more ghee for fire sacrifices. Anyone performing any rituals, we will slaughter them. Why should you fear, Kamsa? You are the greatest, and we are your servants. And when Kamsa heard those words, he thought, yes, yes. He became completely contaminated by evil association. We should know that we all have Kamsa-like tendencies within our hearts. But we're trying to be devotees. We're trying to somehow or other resist those tendencies of exploitation and ego, false ego. But if we associate with people who are too much materialistic, even if they guise themselves as our friends and well-wishers, Kamsa's ministers, they presented themselves as the best friends and well-wishers of Kamsa, who really knew his best interest. In the same way, the enemies of Maya, the enemies and who are the soldiers of Maya, they will certainly appear to us as well-wishers and friends and loving associates, to try to convince us to give in to our Kamsa-like lower nature. So Kamsa became so much angry that he made an order that any child born within the area of 10 days from today will be murdered. Male or female, kill them all. And then the atrocities of Kamsa and his followers began. They began to cause havoc everywhere. But meanwhile, the next morning, Yashoda woke up, and there was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. The essence of all beauty had appeared as her own son. And when Nanda Maharaj saw the beautiful form of child Gopal, his heart just was erupting in ecstatic symptoms of love. And the whole of Gokul came together to celebrate the beautiful appearance of Sri Krishna. And they performed wonderful Abhishek ceremony, and they were singing and dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mam eti sorajuna. Krishna says in Gita that one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities will never take birth again in this world, but will achieve my eternal abode. On this most auspicious celebration of Janamastami, we should dedicate to glorifying the Lord by hearing and chanting his glories and making wonderful, wonderful facilities, arrangements for others to hear and chant his glories. This is a preaching movement. We are willing to go to any lengths of making wonderful, wonderful facilities to attract the fallen people who have forgotten their true consciousness to come and understand who is Krishna. Because as we understand Krishna, we naturally become attracted to Krishna. And as we become attracted to Krishna, we naturally want to love him and want to serve him with our heart and soul. And this is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement, to reveal Krishna to the world. Because it is the only cure for the diseases of birth and death. It is the only remedy for the burning anguish within people's hearts. It's to hear and chant the glories of Sri Krishna. Janmashtami is the day when the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form appeared in this material world, on this very planet of Earth. He appears only once in a day of Brahma, which comes after several billions of years. It is most auspicious. And why does Krishna appear in this world? Haritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstatam arathaya sambhavami yugesh. Out of his mercy, for our sake, to reveal his wonderful pastimes, his wonderful teachings, and his wonderful names to the world. so to reciprocate with Krishna's divine mercy, we come to the temple of Sri Radha Gopinath. And throughout the day and the night, let us make a wonderful, wonderful festival for the pleasure of the Lord and for the purification of our own hearts and for the enlightenment of all living beings. And most of all, for the satisfaction of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has given us all entrance into Krishna's divine Leela. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki, Gaura Premanandi. We chant sincerely His holy name. Krishna is non-different than His name. So let us always chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna.